The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Here's my telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Hey, just a repeat warning. It's going to be very, very cold in central Ohio tonight. 4 degrees is what the forecast is. It's been quite a while since we've had those kind of temperatures. I mean, that's not unusual. In Ohio, we almost always have zero or below zero weather. Then to date myself, I remember very well on one Christmas Eve when it was 22 below zero. But 4 degrees is, that's pretty serious cold. Be careful, be cautious, don't take risks. And by the way, take care of your pets. Make sure that your pets are taken care of. That's important as well. If you're going to be traveling outside the city, please make sure you have blankets in your car, maybe some supplies. Make sure that your cell phone is fully charged or that you have a charging car cord for your car. Just common sense things, and don't take risk. It's Friday, and that means we can talk about basically anything. My number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. The ultimate battle for the Church of Jesus Christ is over the authority of Scripture. That's the ultimate battle. Now, we're facing a whole lot of things. There's the whole social justice thing. There's racial injustice. There is racial division. There is political division. There are all kinds of things that the Church of Jesus Christ is facing today. But the number one most important battle is over the authority of the Word of God. This is where it all began, folks. Listen, I do believe that there is a real devil. I don't believe he is just some ethereal force. There is a real individual created by God called Lucifer, the devil, and several other names in Scripture. He is evil. He has evil forces, and he wants to destroy the work of God, and he wants to destroy you. Now, how did all of this begin? In the Garden of Eden. Yes, I do believe in the literal meaning of Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Yes, I do believe that there was an Adam and Eve. Yes, I believe there was a Garden of Eden. Yes, I believe that there was a tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yes, I do believe that Lucifer, Satan himself, took upon himself the form of a serpent. Now, most of you know this because you're smarter than the average spiritual bear, that serpents did not look then like they look now. Evidently, from what we can infer from Scripture, the serpent was probably the most beautiful animal in creation. It was not slithering on its belly. That came about as a result of the curse. We have no idea what the serpent looked like, but it must have been absolutely beautiful. When you think about some of the beautiful creatures of creation today, a few days ago I saw a picture of a snow owl. Oh my goodness. It was breathtaking. And there are many other beautiful, beautiful animals in nature. The serpent was probably the most beautiful of all. That's the form that Satan took. That's the way he does. Satan does not have a pitchfork and a red tail. He presents himself in tempting ways, beautiful ways. And so he comes to Eve. And what was his attack? Hey, Eve, God doesn't exist. Why don't you become an atheist? No. Eve knew that God existed, obviously, because she and Adam had conversations with God. To try to convince Eve that there was no God would have been absolutely foolish and obviously fruitless. So what was the attack of Satan? Hey, Eve, are you really sure that God meant what he said? Are you really sure? Yea, hath God said that you shall surely die? Did God tell you you can't touch it, which he didn't? Satan began his temptation by questioning the authority of the Word of God. Don't ever forget that. He began his temptation by questioning not the existence of God, the veracity of God, the sovereignty of God. Satan didn't say to Eve, God has no right to take away your life. Again, he knew that Eve knew that God was sovereign and God could, since God created them, God could take their life. God, Eve knew that. The only thing that he could do was to get her to question, did God really say what he meant and did he really mean what he said? Yea, hath God said. Okay, so we're facing many battles in the church today. Marriage, sexuality, gender. And the ultimate question is, did God really mean what he said? Joy and I are reading through the New Testament very, very quickly, and we're over into 1 Corinthians. We just came through Romans. Listen, folks, you cannot read the first three chapters of the book of Romans and have any question whatsoever about what God said about gender, sex, sexuality, marriage. There can't be any question. And in case there were questions, then all you have to do is read 1 Corinthians. You cannot read the book of 1 Corinthians and question what God said about gender, sex, sexuality, and marriage. You cannot, unless you don't believe that God really meant what he said, which was exactly the temptation that Satan used with Eve. He didn't deny that God spoke. He didn't deny that God is sovereign. He just questioned whether God really meant what he said. Every question that the church is facing today, every battle that the church is facing today, comes down to that exact principle. Man and mankind has perverted the teaching of Scripture and has justified all kinds of false theology, false philosophies. But that's not the Word of God's fault. And it's not the fault of the Holy Spirit. Now, why did I go through all of that? A church in Nashville has stirred quite a bit of controversy, a very large church in Nashville, because of a statement that the pastor made recently. I'll share that when we come back. Yeah, the ultimate battle, folks, always has been, always will be, the authority of the Word of God. We'll be back.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
The ultimate battle for the church is over the authority of the Word of God. The ultimate betrayal of Christ is to deny the authority of the Word of God. A church, a preacher that denies the authority of God, that is not a light thing, folks. May I say this? But I mean it. They are walking in the footsteps of Satan himself. He was the first one to question the authority of the Word of God. Yeah, it's serious stuff. Here's the headline. Nashville Church says Bible isn't the Word of God. A progressive Nashville church. Now, please remember a rule of thumb. If the liberal left passes a piece of legislation or titles or names something, it's exactly the opposite of what they said it is. Whenever you see progressive, you can mark it up to being regressive. All right. A progressive Nashville church has drawn the ire of the internet after sharing a message on social media declaring the Bible isn't the Word of God, inerrant or infallible. Two Sundays ago, Grace Point Church, and yes, it's okay because it has an E on the end of point. okay, anyway, Grace Point Church, led by Pastor Josh Scott, shared a recap of the day's message on Facebook discussing the Bible and the question, what is progressive Christianity? And I quote from Pastor Josh Scott, as progressive Christians, we're open to the tensions and inconsistencies in the Bible. We know that it, the Bible, we know that it can't live up to impossible modern standards. We strive to more clearly articulate what Scripture is and isn't. The Bible isn't the Word of God, self-interpreting, a science book, an answer rule book, inerrant or infallible. It is a product of community. A library of texts, multivocal, a human response to God, living and dynamic. By the way, Pastor Josh Scott grew up as a Southern Baptist. When he was questioned about the inflammatory aspect of his post, he said, quote, you know, my intent really was, this is a conversation that we're having in our community. So, yeah, I do think it's a good conversation, and I think it's a conversation that needs to happen within that sort of the broader Christian culture. If there are any sort of conversations that are off limits in the Christian tradition, then it probably just means we're afraid of them. We're probably afraid to engage them because we're afraid of being labeled heretics. We're afraid of people saying hateful things. In reality, these are important conversations. So, yeah, I feel like it's something that needs to be talked about. He wasn't finished. I think one of the greatest challenges that happens with the Bible is we bring expectations to it that it just isn't intended to bear and can't bear. Because if we go to the Bible and we're looking for really up-to-date information on how the cosmos works, we're not going to find it. Because I don't think the Bible is a book trying to tell us how things change. I think the Bible is trying to say to us why. The Bible isn't necessarily the source of the how. The Bible is the source of why do we exist? Why is there a world? What does it mean to be a human being in the world? How do we live our lives in the best way possible? I actually want to try to help people hear the story of the Bible, hear the stories and letters and poems in a fresh way, but a way that honors where that came from and the people that produced it. Yeah. He noted while arguing that while parts of the Bible can be considered the Word of God, not all of it is. Saying the Bible is inerrant and infallible absolves us of our responsibility to do what our ancestors did. I pity the congregation of this heretic. He may be progressive, he may be cool, he may be hip, and the church may be large and growing, but he is a flaming heretic. And may I repeat, he is following in the footsteps of Satan himself. Listen, folks, when you are looking for a church, here's the first question to ask. Do you believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? First question. Now, you may have many other questions. You may ask about the music and the youth ministry, and you may ask about their finances. You may ask 100 different questions, but number one, numero uno, top of the list, what is your view of Scripture? Do you believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? If they believe that it's inspired, but not infallible and inerrant, make a quick exit. If they believe that the Bible is inspired and infallible, kind of, but they don't believe it's inerrant, quick exit. If they believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, consider asking the rest of your questions. If they even hesitate in responding to that question, just excuse yourself and say, you know, I think we'll be looking for another church. And may I say kindly and compassionately, if you are in a church that does not believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God, what in the world are you doing there? Serious question. We'll be back.